Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Three orders signed by President Biden last week caught my eye. One, a task force dedicated to reuniting the 545 kids with their parents, children, small children in many cases, who were separated from their parents. Also, a review of the public charge rule, which limited immigration opportunities for people who might need to at least temporarily rely on government assistance, food stamps, social programs, etc. But it was Biden's call for a sweeping review of the asylum and naturalization process, along with a pledge to address the root causes of Latin American migration that got my attention the most. With us for some perspective and to bring us up to speed, Professor Virgil Wiebe, Robbins Kaplan Director of Clinical Education and an expert on immigration policy at the University of St. Thomas. Professor Wiebe, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, look, I appreciate you weighing in on this, and I'm curious, of all the things that have been done since the inauguration of Joe Biden, what has caught your eye the most?
Well, what's caught my eye is really a commitment to reviewing a lot of what happened under the Trump administration. Some of the things that you mentioned in the intro to this section, as well, just an order. Part of the orders last week was to review, just kind of a sweeping review of policies, and the real challenge for a new administration comes in really three areas, both changing laws that need Congress, changing policies that can be rolling back a predecessor's actions, and then dealing with people and personnel, both those that are political appointees as well as more career officials. So I've just been really looking at those three different areas.
Most of us are descendants of immigrants, in most cases, legal immigration. I'm keeping an open mind on this issue. And I think where things get problematic with a lot of people, understandably concerned about illegal immigration, any signs that asylum conditions may be changed under a Biden administration?
Well, both on the front of unauthorized folks who are here as well as asylum. In asylum, one of the orders last week was to review a lot of the policies, and that can be a real challenge because some of the things were written into regulation, which then have to be, if you want to change them, you have to rewrite those regulations and open them up for notice and comment. There are also court decisions that were made by the Attorney General that are hard to undo. And then there was a big asylum regulation that was kind of pushed through in the waning days of the administration that might be held up in court and could get another look at. So there is certainly a commitment to having a more welcoming asylum policy by the Biden administration, but getting there will not be easy. And on the unauthorized immigration front, just to say that many times in our country's history, there have been times when folks without status have been granted the opportunity to apply by status by Congress. In the early 1970s, there was a time. In 1986, there was a law passed that allowed folks to apply for status. Many folks have been here for decades. Of the approximately 11 million folks who are in the country unauthorized, 1.6 million of those are married to a U.S. citizen. Over 500,000 are married to legal permanent residents. So there are a lot of mixed status families. You know, these folks are really part of our community and have been for decades. So it's a complex situation, to say the least.
Well, it's ripe for overhaul, right? I mean, there has really been no major immigration overhaul in decades, and I'm curious. You talked about some of the changes here before President Trump left office. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was a Texas court that blocked President Biden's 100-day moratorium on deportations. And ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, has attempted to resume deportation flights, which apparently defy some of the new guidelines introduced by DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. The Biden administration, in this case, running into some friction from the courts, correct?
They are. It will be interesting to see how that case plays out. The use of prosecutorial discretion to sort of halt deportations, at least on a case-by-case basis, and actually in more sweeping situations, has been a hallmark of both Democratic and Republican administrations in the past. I signed on to a letter with several hundred other law professors about a week ago saying that this sort of action is commonplace and very much legal. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Professor, this is a strange question, but bear with me. Do you have any insight, any statistics, any numbers on those 11 million illegal immigrants in the United States right now? I presume most of them are working. Most of them are paying taxes. Again, one of the concerns I run into when I talk to people is, hey, you know, is federal money, government money, my taxpayer money supporting people who are here illegally? Have you seen any firm numbers in terms of the percentage? My sense is they're all trying to pull themselves up, or many of them are, and enjoy the American dream like we are. But do you have any numbers to back that up?
I can't give you particular numbers off the top of my head that would point in that direction. But that really is a study I've just started taking a look at called Unauthorized Immigrants in the United States by the Migration Policy Institute. Mm-hmm. Really talks about how there's been a kind of a shift to the foreign-born population in the U.S. being better socially and politically integrated. So this doesn't exactly address your question, but the share of unauthorized immigrants as a portion of the total foreign-born population in the U.S. fell from 30% in 2007 to 23% in 2018.
Okay.
That's
helpful. When you find those numbers, if you find those numbers, I'd love to have you back and just take a deeper dive into that. I'm just looking for the data and some guidance. My sense, my perception is that most people who are even here illegally are working and trying to give back and trying to pay taxes. But that's my perception. I'd like to see some data to back that up. I'm curious, last question. The American Immigration Council, a representative said recently, starting a Marshall Plan for Central America is a lot cheaper than building a wall or hiring immigration officers. And he's focused on Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, and basically getting to the root causes In other words, it seems like President Biden is at least considering funneling aid to strengthen democracy, combat gang violence, and boost local economies so people in Central America don't feel the overriding need to migrate north. Is that your understanding?
That is, and that makes so much sense. And that is running counter to what the Trump administration did in trying to limit the amount of aid that went to Central America. Part of the responsibility for the situation there, not all of it, of course, but some of it does fall on the United States. In the 1980s and 90s, we were really exporting gangs through how we were treating Central Americans in the United States and deporting folks that were involved in gangs back to El Salvador and Guatemala. Hmm. So there's sort of decades of issues there between civil wars, economic inequities there, and gang violence that really do need to be addressed at the root.
All right. Well, we're keeping an eye on this issue on CCO. Professor Virgil Wiebe, University of St. Thomas, sure appreciate your perspective. Hang in there and let's check in again soon.
That would be great. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.